We wish you Merry Christmas. Say with me, Merry Christmas. We had our first Christmas gathering service was in Alosta, and that was in November 29, right? It was so funny. I said, Merry Christmas. Let's wish one another Merry Christmas in November. There was, what do you think? It was a big silence because in our mind is, why are we wishing Merry Christmas in November? Friends, it's no surprise if you are in Philippines. Right, and they celebrate Christmas from the Bur month onwards, which is September. Okay, just now I wanted to show you as we pray for Dr. Isaac, because Mani and Dr. Isaac, they got married on November, okay, the 18th, all right, huh? Okay, I'll try to get the best photo that I can have, but I think this is still the best, fresh and new, all right? Praise the Lord, all right, now, for many of us who join us today, okay, Christmas, okay, is here. Okay, we are running a series called God is Near. Sometimes we think about God is near. It's a question is whether it's God far away, okay, or God, okay, is near. Now, all of us understand near and far very differently. But in this series that we are doing, okay, it's a four-part series. We have this deadline says that God is nearer than you think. Can you tell your neighbor left and right? God is nearer than you think. The opposite will be, God is farther than you think. If that's a word called farther. Okay, now, further. Okay, now, praise the Lord. Okay, now. So when you think about this series, God is near, okay, in this festive season, is that we want to encourage all of you, okay, when you celebrate Christmas, okay, having to know that God is near you and He is not far, okay, away. Now, in this God's It's near series, it based on the scripture that we are looking at was that in this scripture, Paul was writing and he's talking to the people. And people sometimes think that God is very far. So in this, that you're saying that, he made, okay, from one man, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Here he goes, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, yet He is actually not far from each and every one of us. Now you tell your neighbor left and right, thank God you're sitting near me. You're not far away, all right? Now, if you have the overflow room, okay, I hope you're doing fine there. Okay, ushers, help me. We have pockets of seats. Here, 1, 2, 3. See, any more, all right? A few more behind there. If they can come over, okay, fill up this place, okay, that will be good, all right? Now, especially friends, okay, who are here for the first time, all right? Now, so when we talk about God is near, and you look at Christmas, okay, we want to say that God reveals Himself in many ways. And the way when we read the Bible, God revealed Himself in His birth. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And then many of the stories that we talk about Jesus is about His ministry. And then the big thing is about His death and resurrection. Okay, that is where we... That's where we celebrate, all right? Easter, okay? Good Friday and Easter. When I was very young, talking about Easter, Good Friday, before I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have friends who invited me, okay, for church. That's Good Friday, you know? And Easter, I was like... your God is dead and you celebrate your Jesus dead, right? So when I was non-believer, not knowing Jesus yet, all right, now, later we know that, wow, Jesus died, buried, and the third day He rose again. So in this Christmas, when we talk about God is near, let me tell you, before even Jesus was born, His name was already given, has been prophesied, and His name is none other than Emmanuel. Say with me, Emmanuel. It means God with us. All right, tell our neighbor left and right again, God is with us. Okay, to do a bit of recap, let me tell you, after this, okay, we have production, we have magic show all coming up, okay, it will be very exciting today. All right, now, we have these four parts. The first one we'll talk about, just a bit of recap, Jesus and fishermen. I don't know how your work is. Fishermen, their job is to fish. In the Bible, the stories about these fishermen who have gone out to fish and they've been working day and night and they caught nothing. How many of you, when you go to work, whole day, morning, night, before the sunrise, you're already in your working place and the sunset and you are still not home. And when you look at your life, sometimes you just wonder, okay, what is life all about? And here was this fisherman, okay, facing the same scenario. And Jesus came. Jesus stepped into their boat. And Jesus said to the fishermen, okay, throw your nets, okay, on the other side. Friends, Peter replies, these are all the disciples when Jesus was recruiting them. Okay, Peter said this, we have been toying whole night, we have been working day and night, and you're telling us to throw our net and catch the fish over the other side? Then Peter said this, according to your word, we will throw our nets. Friends, sometimes in our life it's like this, all right? Whole day, work, life, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Sometimes you can just sit down with people working for 30, 50 years, all right? And then come to a place, what will you do next? Okay, at this age, what job can I do? If I resign, who will hire me? But Peter said this, according to your word, they all throw the nets. Friends, they have fish caught, their net is breaking, and they have to call their friends on the other boat to come to collect all these fish. Friends, that is according to your word, and this is where you choose to get to believe in his word. All right, so next one, part two, we talk about Jesus, the Samaritan woman. The first one, okay, we hear from that. Second, Pastor Tim was with us, okay, about the Samaritan woman. Friend, this was the time when Jesus passed through, okay, Samaria. Now, all of us are in this shoe called Samaria. We are in some area somewhere. And sometimes when you live a life that nobody even take notice. Right here was the story of Samaritan woman, looked down, outcast, and Jesus said to this woman, give me a drink, okay, because she came out in the afternoon to draw water. Okay, I do not know how many of you, okay, you go and draw water somewhere, it's so hot, all right? And here was this woman, and Jesus said, give me a drink. Friend, Jesus said a prophetic word of knowledge. Okay, you call your husband. He said, I don't have husband. He said, you have five husbands, and the one that you are living with is not your husband. She got shocked of her life because God knows every detail of our life. Okay, that was the moment, okay, that this Samaritan woman said, you don't have anything to take your water. All right? And then Jesus said this word that in this message is what? If you knew the gift of God, it will change your life. So it was a God moment, okay, for her that God reveals, her life turned around. She went back, forget the bucket, okay, that she had come for the water. She went back and tell the whole kampong or whole barangay, okay, about, okay, the story of Jesus. The message that we take home, okay, that morning is that if you knew the moment, if you knew God's gift, it will change, okay, your life. Last week, I talked about Jesus the centurion, okay. My tagline is that, how far? Yeah, so near, yes, so far. Say with me, so near, yes, so far. Question I ask is that, how near is near and how far is far? Because all of us has different kind of definition and understanding, all right? Now, when you look at the moon, sometimes at the 15th, the Chinese calendar, the moon is so near, right? Then we call everybody, come out to take photo, okay, because of the moon. Hopefully, none of you sound like, oh, okay, all right now. And sometimes we say to one another, I love you to the moon and back. So I said this, that the distance, how far is the moon, okay, from Earth is 384,400 kilometers, okay, is that far. So even say somebody, I love you to the moon and come back, well, that's a long journey. Okay, if you're traveling 100 kilometers, 110 kilometers per hour, you can calculate, all right? And of course, you don't drive 24 hours a day, maybe take 8 hours. Friends, you won't see this person for 8 to 10 months. I love you, but don't see you right now. Then I ask the other question is that the sun is so far, yet it's so hot. Friends, so hot. When my son texts me, Eddie, it's 40 Celsius now. Oh, so hot. And part of job is to be at outdoor. Friends, the sun is 149 million kilometers away, but you can feel the heat. It's so far, yet so near. But this is a story of centurion. The centurion servant is paralyzed at home, and Jesus was so near. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. How nice, right? When you have a need, Jesus said, I will come and help you. How many of you have friends like that? I will come right now. One of my best stories is with Pastor Mark. Okay, he is there all the time. Okay, help me. All right, so in our studies, I got a lot of stories, but I cannot share today. Okay, it takes some few hours. Okay, but he's a man, they say, I will come, okay, and help you. And he's Jesus, they say, I will come and heal, okay, your servant. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Friend, Jesus is so near and say, I'm not worthy. Friends, but this man, centurion, knew, okay, what it means to come under authority. So it's just by the word. Friends, something that we take home is by the word of Jesus. And he believed that. And such faith, okay, that this centurion has, that on the very hour, okay, the servant, okay, was healed. Well, I have a bigger question, okay, today, that is, when you look at this picture, I don't know what you have in mind, okay, talking about God is near will be, how far or how near heaven and hell? I know today is Christmas, we talk about birth of Christmas, we're talking about God is near. But in our mind is, so far, my auntie stay very far, my son is 6,000 kilometers away, all right, because in Australia, all right, how to meet them, okay, you got to fly, now flight is so expensive, okay, so everywhere is like so far, you know. But the bigger question is, how far and how near is heaven and earth? Have you ever thought about it? So today I'm going to talk about the next story, the final story for our Christmas series, Jesus and the criminal. Say with me, criminal. That your neighbor left, right? I don't look like one. Okay, now in this story, there are two criminals in this story. It was a story when Jesus was on the cross. Okay, it's so near yet so far. Because Jesus at the center, there are two thieves or two criminals. They are so near and yet so far. So in other words, it's either heaven or hell. Alright, so one challenged Jesus. The other one humbled himself, okay, to reach out to Jesus. Okay, practically the thief do nothing but having a conversation, all right, with Jesus at the cross. So looking at this story, I'm going to read some verses, okay, then we're going to explore what does that mean, all right. Luke chapter 23, okay, from verse 32 to 38 for this passage, and then we go on a few more verses, all right. Two others who were criminals, they were led to be put to death, okay, with him is Jesus, and when they came to the place that is called the Skull, all right. Now, so if you go to that place, okay, we were in Holy Land, Israel. They showed us one place with a cave and there's a shape like a skull. They still do not know whether that's the exact place, right? But outside, okay, the wall, okay, was this place called the Skull or some place called the Golgotha. And they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. All right, I'm doing this like this. Although this is my left, I say right because it's your right. Okay, now, one on the right, one on his left. Now, it's a place that they crucify criminals. And then criminals, after they crucified, died, and their bodies will be thrown, okay, into that pit. All right, now, Jesus was different, okay, because in the story we read, okay, because he's recognized as the rabbi, recognized as the king of Jews and all those. So they have Nicodemus that came, okay, the businessman that came, okay, that took the body, okay, for embalming and so on. All right, now, going forward. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was at the cross. Some of us like to say that when we want to forgive somebody, then we say, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing to me. All right, now. And they cast lot and to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Can you imagine Jesus at the cross suffered pain, suffering, and the worst rejection ever? All right, you can see, okay, the people, the rulers, all mocking and scoffing, okay, at Jesus. Okay, continue reading. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. Well, all this was planned, all this was all in the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, a redemption plan, okay, right from the beginning to the end. All right, let us pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even to explore these stories. Help us, Lord, okay, to understand that God, okay, is near us, that he is not far away as we celebrate Christmas, okay, this year. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say, Amen. So this is a story about three men died that day. Okay, they were crucified side by side outside the walls of Jerusalem. Okay, we read just now the skull of Golgotha, where the Romans, okay, do the killing. All right, now if you study a bit, it's not far from the Damascus Gate. So if you go to Jerusalem, okay, the wall, okay, in every of those castles or every of this wall, they have gate, okay, different gate. Okay, you have the sheep gate, means the sheep is going to in and out. Not easy, not difficult to understand. So when you have the dung gate, means they throw the rubbish, they throw the dung, all right? So when you pass through that, you better say line clear before you walk in, all right? Okay, so that's where they throw, okay, the rubbish and so on. Okay, now, so here was somewhere near, not far from Damascus Gate, okay, where people go to the city and they will see, all those that's been crucified, all right? Now, so Jesus of Nazareth is hung, okay, on the middle cross. Two men, okay, which is two criminals, were just crucified, okay, left and his right. That's where we read. Now, question is, who were they? Not much was written about them, but you can roughly know that probably they are thieves, criminals, okay, they are robbers, bandits, or they go against, okay, the Roman, okay, empire. Whichever is that we do not know where they are from, their names, or whichever crime they committed, surely, okay, here is they are involved, okay, in this greatest drama, okay, for Jesus dying on the cross, all right? Now, if you read the story, if you know that story well, okay, which means the both criminal was sentenced to die together about the same time at the same place, okay, with, okay, Jesus, which means right before that, they have gone through, okay, their trials or without, okay, and beaten, crucified, in the sense they were stripped naked, the crowd are leering at them, they were covered with blood and dirt and about to die. Okay, so that is the background. Now, the question is this. Although when you see all those, all three may look the same, how many of you realize that when you go, nowadays, when I go to school, when they all wear uniform and when the school decided to practice crew cut, 2mm, okay, so I go to school, whoa, everybody looks the same. Where's my son? Okay, you know them by their hairstyle, right? Now, here it's like when all the three, it looks like all the three the same. But Jesus is different because there's a crown of thorn, okay, on him. So when you look at them, the left and right, they almost look the same, right? Now, question I want to ask is that, what's the difference? What's the difference when you look at this? The difference is, did I have the question there, huh? Okay, what's the difference? The question is, both view the man in the center differently. One choose to escape and not asking for forgiveness. The other one wanted forgiveness and not escape. Question for us is, how do you view Jesus today? Right? Are you like the criminal one or the criminal two? But I'm not saying that you are criminal. Okay, just to make it straight. All right, now, criminal one. Criminal one has no fear, no repentance, and proud. So in verse 39 says, one of the criminals will hang real at him, saying, are you not Christ? Save yourself and us. Can you imagine? This person is crucified, going to die in no time, and he can, okay, challenge, has no fear, okay, of God, no sign of repentance, and still proud. Are you not Christ? Can't you save us? Can't save yourself and us? So, have you seen? Have you met people who are, you know, they are wrong, evil at their side, and they stand on what, okay, they believe in, okay, that is to be wrong. And here, this one, beaten, punished, crucified, and still can scorn at Jesus as though that he has done, okay, nothing wrong, right? So, when we take a closer look at the second one, okay, the second one, fear of God, have repentance, humble and faith. This is what he says. He did not say to Jesus, but he rebuked the other one, right? Do you not fear God? Yes, he has this sense, okay, of fear. Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, we are same, okay? We are all both condemned, okay, together with Jesus, in our sense, okay? But he said this, And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Well, when I hear what this second criminal is saying, it's interesting, all right? Because he has fear of God. He has sense of repentance. He knew his own sin, and he knew what the other guy has done, and he knew that Jesus has done nothing wrong and put on the same punishment, same condemnation as they are. And he called out to Jesus. Another version says that, Lord Jesus, and he recognized, okay, that Jesus is Lord. That's where, when we look at that, he believed in Jesus. How many of us will actually call Lord Jesus? It's only when we knew that he's our master and he's our God and he's Lord. And he believed the very promise, okay, of everlasting life, okay, that Jesus, okay, is giving. Now, here is for them, Jesus is physically so near, okay, to each of them. In other words, heaven and hell, okay, is a choice, okay, that they're going to make. Okay, but their view, they are so near, but their view on Jesus is so far different. All three near to the cross. Every move is agony. Every breathing, okay, is torturing. Okay, any movement. At the same time, people are howling and screaming and spitting, all right, on them, right? And these two saw Jesus bleeding, naked, and yet the other one believed, okay, that Lord Jesus has a promise, okay, from him. When I think about this, I was thinking, does this criminal really know that Jesus had a virgin birth? Does he know that Jesus was teaching as parables, Sermon on Mount? Does he know that he's healed the sick, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead rise? I just wonder whether he did experience or saw all that Jesus has done. Right? Did he know that there was encounter of a Nicodemus? Because at the cross, when you read, Nicodemus actually came. Okay, with Joseph of Arimathea, okay, who bring, okay, the spices, lower down the body of Jesus. I don't know, maybe he already dead, okay, and thrown, okay, into the pit. But there was a time when Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was asking, how can this be for an old man to be born again? That's why Jesus said, John 3:16 to Nicodemus. This was the phrase, okay, or the verse that was said to Nicodemus, that is John 3:16. Every time we use that, you think who Jesus was speaking to? He was speaking to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, okay, shall not perish but have eternal life. And here was this second criminal belief, okay, in Jesus. So close to death. All right? And yet, okay, he chose the last moment to make the appeal, so-called appeal to the Supreme Court, okay, which is King, okay, Jesus. Look at this, what Jesus says, okay, when they are at the cross. Verse 42 said, he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what that mean? Say, Jesus, remember me. He has no idea whether Jesus will be with him or not. When would that be? I don't know. When you come into your kingdom, and he's believed that this is the king that you're going to believe in, but he does not know when Jesus is going to come into the kingdom. Let's see what Jesus say. Jesus, what did you say? His reply to this second criminal is this. He said to him, truly, I say to you. How many of you have friends who tell you, I tell you, huh? That means it's very true one, huh? Okay, that means you want to make a point. Jesus said, I truly say to you, today, can you think about when? Today, my friend, is so near for the reverence so far. Today, okay, you will be with me, friends, this Christmas. Where is Jesus? He's with us. He's with me. Where? In paradise. When he asked Jesus, Jesus, remember me. He has no idea, okay, when Jesus is going to come into the kingdom. He has no idea, okay, whether Jesus will be with him. That's where Christmas, God with us, His name is Emmanuel. Because at that split of second is between heaven and hell. Torture in hell or in heaven or paradise. Now, friends, sometimes we think about heaven too much or hell too much. I want to end with some stories of my grandma because my conversation with her was so clear, okay, when she talked about heaven and hell. Let me see the next verse. Okay, so the question of heaven and hell. Friends, heaven is where Jesus is. So in other words, for us to go heaven is to be with Jesus. So where Jesus is where heaven it is. I put a phrase that heaven is where Jesus is, and to be with him is to be, okay, in heaven. My grandma's story. My grandma was so ill that nobody chose to take care of her. So she was sort of, okay, placed in our home, all right? So where my mom, okay, could look after her. But for us, was so young, and we came to know Jesus not long after that. So for me to tell her about Jesus, it's very tough. I tell her Genesis, how is she going to stand? Okay, so how to tell her about Old Testament, New Testament, and all those. So what happened was, every day when I come home, I choose to tell her one story about Jesus. Ama. Lola. Is it Lola? Lola, right? Okay. Ama. Yeah, so, si chin sin. Jesus is real one. Okay, so every day I tell her a story. Okay, Jesus healed the sick. Cannot walk one, can walk. Because she's already at her 80 plus. And she find hard to walk. Right? Timia, cannot see, can see. All right. I know Mark knows my grandma. All right. Can see. Oh. Until one day, she suddenly replied me. Unyabo. True or not? That's what she said. Unyabo, Hokkien. Right? So we say, true or not? I was like, true. Thinking Kong. So I said, Bible say one, you know. That's the only way I can tell her, all right? So, cut a story short. She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. At her 80 plus, she came to know Jesus. Friend, it's so real, my friend. So, what happened was, how the turning point is. At one point, she hear all this story. Unyabo, I say, is Unya real? Okay, this is all written in the Bible. We have seen, we experienced, okay, Jesus. And then she said this. Ama, sikit tegiin. This was her confession. He said, for grandma is to go to hell one. Oh, God, shock of my life. Okay, for her to believe in her own religion, the end of the day, she already knew that it is going down and not going up. Ama, lu ai ki heaven, no? You want to go to heaven, ai ki tang tong, oh? I say, ai ti dao jie lo. Of course, she was like, can me? Can na? Ya saw. I chap siu ya saw or not? Well, friends, when I think about that, how her life has been so dedicated, okay, to what she believed in. She was so sick, and she demanded me to fetch her on a motorbike. Can we think? Which motorbike? Demand me on a motorbike. Okay, this one we are still in Tolentan. Okay, so on a motorbike, later on my sister was using, all right, motorbike, to ferry her to the temple. Sick, you know. And her life, by all this devotion and dedication, is going to hell. So I said, Ama, you can make this decision. You don't have to follow that anymore because Jesus is real. Of course, she gave her life to, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's give Jesus a big hand. Tell you the second part of the story. When she died, or when she... I only tell you this part. No time to tell already. Okay, this part. Cut the story short, because my auntie all came from Singapore and all those challenged her on the faith and all those. Okay, cut that story short is that my auntie asked her, Lu ai te diao apai ai te diao ayasoy, which means, do you want to follow, because That's her daughter. The daughter said, you want to follow our father's way or you want to follow Jesus' way? What was her reply? Okay, three times, just like Jesus questioned Peter. Okay, so my auntie questioned her three times. She came out and tell all of us, I never understand my mom ever make her decision of herself. Then my auntie turned to us who are grandchildren, today you all take charge. So the day came, she passed away to be gone with the Lord. Okay, and our pastor who did the funeral, we bring her body all the way, not us, I mean the undertaker, all the way back to Telok Intan. Our pastor who did the funeral for us said to the crowd, because older generation, they buy the burial ground already. So my pastor said this, which I caught my attention. He said, today, to all of you, you are witnessing, one, did not know Jesus. One, knew Jesus. So near, yet so far. How far is heaven and hell? It's very real. My friend, so on the end, we want to have more things coming in. All right, everybody there? So what makes the story real? God is near, number one. As long as you are still alive, it's never too late to turn to Jesus. My mom came to know, my grandmother came to know at her 80 plus. I think she passed away, was around 88 years old. She came to know Jesus. Ho Ho Hang Kampong is like, how this Lim Mui, that's her name, it can become Jesus, become Christian. The whole kampung actually came for the funeral, okay, to understand, all right? Number two, even if you are the worst sinner ever, sometimes when I talk to friends, they say, God cannot forgive me. But friends, if you are even the worst sinner, Jesus is waiting for you. I talked to some of my colleagues last time. The moment we sit down for discussion, all not so flowery. Although you think it's flowery, but it's not flowery, all right? This person said to me, you know, say, GP, you heaven one, me is hell one. I was looking at him, no. I said, well, one day, after 1 year, I came back from Bible school, I called them and invited them for Christmas. He said, GP, and the wife took the call. He said, GP, we are all Christian already. I said, wow, no more hell, it's heaven. Right. Number three, God has made the gift of salvation available exactly where you are. And a good amen. So that is the story, okay, of Christmas. God is near you and he's not far from you. Good amen. All right, so I'm going to pray now because we have a few things coming up, all right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I want to commit all of us into your hands. Father, knowing, Lord, the story of Jesus, okay, in our life, and the story of Christmas. Each time when we celebrate Christmas, we may have different thoughts in our life because we have friends of us who celebrate Christmas through barbecue, through all kinds of things. But today, let us know, okay, that God is near each and every one of us. If you have friends who are here, you may be a Christian for some time. Some of us may have not come to know Jesus. But hear stories each time Christmas you are here, and all those in the overflow room as well. Let me say this. God is so near us. In order for Jesus to not only near us, not only with us, but Jesus can be in us. But how can he do that? It's through prayer. We shall want to make an invitation, okay, to all of us. That is, I'm going to pray this prayer. If you can mean every word in your heart, to invite Jesus into your life. Okay, we want to help you to grow. We want to help you to be strong, okay, believer of Jesus Christ. The prayer is very simple. Number one is to say, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for the things I've done. Second sentence is, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Third one say, Jesus, please now come into my life. It is a simple prayer, right? So pray with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the things that I have done. I've done wrong things against other people, myself, and also you. But I thank you, Jesus, for the Christmas story, that Jesus came, born as a human, and is fully God, fully man. The day came, he went to the cross, shed his blood, washed my sin away. He died, buried, and third day he rose again. Dear Jesus, please come into my life. I invite you into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. In Jesus' happy hand. If you are saying this prayer for the first time, and all those in the overflow room as well, right? Come, okay? Let me know, okay? Any of our leaders here, okay? Leaders, coach, can you just wave your hand, okay? Or people that invited you, all right? Okay, please go to them, okay? That's the best, all right? Because we want to help you to know more of Jesus. Why we come to church, why we sing, why we pray, okay? So that you know, okay, who Jesus is. Amen? All right? All right, so I want to wish all of you Merry Christmas.